Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
Hi, my name is Brenda Lanoff, and I'm creator of the Brenda's Mindful Healing Show and a company called Whispering Energetic Healing. I'm an intuitive counselor, energy healer, speaker, and radio show host. I love interviewing individuals, people that really bring inspirational stories, life experiences to share with us. And tonight, I'm really pleased to introduce you to a lady named Jan Matthews. You know, Jan came to my rescue many years ago when I had to set up a website. And the more I got to know Jan, the more intrigued I was as to her life story and how she's living her passion now. So I thought, what, this would be great to have her come on and talk about how she's living her life passion and her business. So Jan Matthews ran an outfitting business for nearly 30 years as a trail rider in the Canadian mountains. And during those years, Jan raised three children, one which is mentally and physically handicapped. Also, Jan started a website and development company that's become very successful. And as Jan became inspired with all the guests for the horseback vacations from all around the world, she then realized that she could also travel and run her business from anywhere in the world. So listen, join us here as Jan shares her inspirational stories and how she stepped into her true power. So welcome, Jan.
Thanks, Brenda. I'm happy to be here.
I have to ask you, like, when did you start working with horses and get involved with horses? Did you grow up with horses? How did that all begin?
Well, my dad, when I was 10 years old, gave me a choice of taking Spanish guitar lessons or horseback riding lessons. And it was, to me, it was a no-brainer because I've always been enamored with horses. So I started taking riding lessons when I was 10, and I've been riding pretty well nonstop ever since. So I went from doing different horse shows as you know, a teenager and up into my 20s. And once I moved out to Alberta from Ontario, I went to school, actually, in the Okanagan. I went to Okanagan College for some horsemanship courses out there, and that just kind of blossomed.
Wow. So, you were a trail rider. What's involved in being a trail rider?
Well, for me, once I came back from these horsemanship courses, that was all English riding that I was doing back then. But I started riding Western and riding in the mountains, and I ended up marrying a cowboy, and that had been my whole dream my whole life, is, I got to marry a cowboy. And I did. So we actually started an outfitting business, and that was taking guests into the mountains for 2 and 3 hour rides or day rides, and anywhere from a weekend up to 7 days for overnight trips. So we would supply everything that everybody needed to do this, like the horses, the cooks, the wranglers, all the equipment, the tents, the food, everything. All they had to bring was a duffel bag with their sleeping bag and their toothbrush and anything else they needed. Mm-hmm. And we would take them into the mountains. So we started off fairly small, of course. We only had, I think we had 6 horses when we decided to become outfitters. And we just slowly got more horses and got more business. And from 30 horses, or from 6 horses, 30 years later, we had 150 horses.
And really?
We raised most of them. And, we could take out probably 50 or 60 people at a time if we wanted to. And in some cases, we did.
You could probably supply all the needs of the Calgary Stampede in Alberta with those 150 horses.
Oh, we probably could. And I have done the Stampede Parade quite often with corporations that needed horses to go into the parade and have their logo and everything on the horses and the riders. So I've done that quite a few times.
And so there's people that came from across the world. And of course, if anybody's never been to the Canadian mountains in Alberta, they're absolutely beautiful. And so I'm sure you did attract quite a few people that wanted to do some trail riding in the mountain range. What was your best story, or do you have a particular story from somebody who's just loved, you know, this, and but they've never really ridden horses before, and you know, scenery and just the feel of being on a horse and, you know, being in touch with the animal and in nature? And was there anything that really struck you funny or interesting that was like, wow?
What really was interesting, most of the people that came out on an overnight trip with us had either never ridden before or only ridden once or twice. So they were pretty brave to begin with, you know, all right, we're going to go riding in the mountains, and they don't know what they're getting into. They don't even know how to camp. But we'd get up to the trailhead, and we'd get everybody on their horses, and we'd ride into camp the first day. And this would be awesome for them at this point. I mean, that's just riding along a trail and haven't even started going into the mountains yet or even up high. So we'd get into camp, which was definitely in the mountains. We were surrounded by mountains. And they thought, wow, this is pretty awesome, you know. I mean, they've got the stars, and they've got the tent and the campfire, and we always had music around the campfire and a great cook giving them, you know, amazing meals. But then the next day would come along, and they'd get on the horses, and we would start heading up these mountains. And I would look back, because if I'm leading the ride, I would keep checking back and making sure everybody was doing okay, asking if anyone needed any help. And their eyes would be just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And you could see them clutching onto the horn, you know, double-fisted, and their knuckles were getting white. And because we did trail riding. We took really amazing trails, and some of them were pretty steep.
Yeah.
So a lot of them, once they got back to camp, like, they were terrified on some of the rides. But once they got to camp, they said, wow, that was amazing. That was totally awesome. That's a life-changing experience, but I don't want to do it again.
Yeah.
No, they were just so scared. But you know what?
Yeah.
It was totally safe. We raised the horses. The horses were good. It wasn't a big deal. But, you know, going up even a slight incline every now and then was enough to get them going.
Nerve-wracking.
Yeah. But I can understand that. I mean, doing anything new, doing something for the first time is always sometimes nerve-wracking.
So what about, like, what countries where these people, you know, arrive from that would go to the trail riding? What countries?
Oh, wow, from just about every country, Australia, New Zealand, England, all over Europe, South and Central America even, which is unusual, but they did come from there, Greece, and, of course, the United States and Canada, but just all over. It was great.
Well, that must have really put the bug in you for wanting to travel. I mean, it certainly would for me. I mean, just be, you know, have that opportunity to talk to so many people from so many different countries, it just sparks an interest.
It does. And listening to their accents, I love the accents of the different countries. And, you know, you hear the stories, we'd sit around the campfire and they would just have stories, you know, of their own country. And I just thought, wow, I'd love to do that.
Yeah. But throughout those 30 years, you had three children. You raised three children.
I did.
So how did you juggle raising three children and the busyness of running this camp?
Well, it was very, very difficult because I didn't have any family around to help me out. So I pretty well had to do the cooking in camp and at the ranch. We had a crew of a staff at the ranch as well. So I would cook and I would clean the cabins and do the office work, the paperwork, and signing people in and packing groceries and buying groceries.
Wow.
But I would drag all my kids with me. You know, I'd take this big van into Calgary once a week, and I would have all three kids with me, including my handicapped son. And I would get a van full of groceries, and it was an all-day ordeal, and the kids got really, really good at being adaptable. And as they grew older, they really started to enjoy the company of all the people that came and went as well. You know, they had quite the education from all these people as well. And the really cool thing was, with my handicapped son, we would have, say, a couple thousand people coming through in any given season.
Mm-hmm.
And he was always right in the front and center. And it was really good for them to get to know him as well.
Yes.
It was just, I would say 99% of the people that met my son, my handicapped son, just fell in love with him. You know, and what an opportunity for both.
Yes. And with your handicapped son, I would imagine being around horses, like, it just must have been so healing for him.
He loves to be on horses. He loves to lead them while he's walking. Once he was able to walk, he would just grab the lead shank and walk them. He much preferred to do that, but we've taken him into the mountains a couple times on overnight trips, and, man, he just absolutely loved it. He was just had this big grin on his face the whole time.
Wow. So you had a whole career of this trail riding business, and mm-hmm. somehow you got into website and development.
I did.
How did that, where did that come from?
Well, at one point when the internet was just getting popular and websites were beginning to appear, I always thought that we should have a website. And I was a computer person in that family. I, years ago, started work when I first moved to Calgary all those years ago. I started at IBM, so I got into computers then, and I just had a love of computers. So when websites started coming along, I thought, oh, wow, wouldn't that be great for our business? So I got a book, HTML, and I started learning HTML right from scratch. And all the codes, and they didn't have the programs that they do now in order to make websites, and people can do it fairly easily now. Mm-hmm. But I started right from scratch, and I did a couple websites for our company. You know, I would do the one, and I thought, oh, well, got to change the colors, I got to do this, I got to do that. And it just evolved over time.
Well, and thankfully, because you have been so, it's been so great working with you and being able to be so patient with my lack of understanding of websites and everything and getting frustrated. So, and I know that people can do and create websites online or whatever, but, you know, there's something about being able to call the person and having that person-to-person contact. I think there's been too many businesses where you just sort of get lost in recordings and you're not having that personalized touch. So
no. And that's one of the things that I really, I don't know, I guess I can say I take pride in is my customer service. If somebody's mm-hmm. calling me, I want to call them back right away.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody's emailing me, I want to call them back right away. And I think that's so important because technology nowadays, as you say, you know, you phone for some help and you press 1 for this, press 2 for that, and maybe 3 days later you'll get an answer. And that's just not good enough.
So, Jan, when did you start traveling? Like, I know it's been the last couple years, but and how did you decide, okay, you're going to travel and do your business? Because I think that's something that a lot of people are just like, oh, I'd love to be able to do that. And not everybody has the ability to do something like that, to make money while you're traveling.
Hmm. Well, I started traveling with the family about 15 years ago, and we'd do the usual all-inclusive thing in Cuba and Mexico, and that was nice. We did that a few times, and I thought, well, yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, I wasn't going to turn it down by any means, but then I thought, wow, wouldn't it be great to travel in a different kind of way where I could go and get into the community, like maybe stay in a hostel or rent an apartment and just live in another country for 2 or 3 months. And that always intrigued me. So about just over 3 years ago, I actually left the ranch, and I'm out on my own now, so I don't have the outfitting business anymore, but I do have my my website design business, and that is definitely allowing me to do the traveling that I want to do, because I can get my clients while I'm in the Calgary area, and then when I go away for the winters, I work from wherever I am, because as long as I have internet, I can be working. So I can work at the airport, or I can work in the little town of La Manzanilla, where I usually go in Mexico, or anywhere. I can travel anywhere and travel and make some money and just keep on traveling. That's great.
I think it's great too, and again, I think people just love to be able, a lot of people would love to be able to do that. Just like, okay, how can I make the money, live my passion, you know, with this business? So, like, you know, I just thought, wow, good for you. Like, that's to me is really inspirational, and we need more more of that inspiration. Like, you've lived a good life so far, with I'm sure many more years to go, but all these life experiences, like, it really does, you know, it does shape a person.
And, it does.
Yeah.
And now when I go down to Mexico, I haven't decided this year where I'm going yet. It might be Central or South America. I'm just totally unsure of where I'm going yet, but I do know that wherever I go, I'm going to be taking lessons in the language of the country, because I just really like to communicate a little bit better with the people when I get down there. I don't want to be just one of those tourists that, they just take from the country and not even try to become a part of it. I think that's really important.
Well, also, I mean, the opportunity. So, for example, if you're in South America, you know, by learning the Spanish and, you know, just getting, you know, there's enough people that will speak English in different areas that you could perhaps some Spanish, you can start, you know, creating business also within, which is great.
Yeah, I was actually, a couple of years ago, I was in Sayulita, and I was staying at a hostel there, and the woman who owns the hostel said, oh, you're a website designer. Have a look at my website. So I did, and she says, well, what would you suggest? And I gave her some suggestions, and I ended up doing a complete redesign of her website for her, and it's great. You know, I just love that sort of thing.
Yeah, just sort of like a spur of the moment to things develop. And, you know, because I lived in Bolivia at one point in time, and I'm just thinking there's a lot of expatriate communities in the world, and that would be a great place, too, to start looking into. And, you know, because there's English-speaking people from wherever working in various parts of the world. And I think for anyone that has any type of a business, and it's exciting, isn't it? I know, like, even in Bolivia, there was this young girl from Germany, and she was traveling on her own. And I thought, you know, that was just so great for her to have that courage, just like to travel from Germany to Bolivia. And then she said, well, I might travel to another country. And it went on and on. And a lot of people just live in that fear of, you know, they can't do it, or they shouldn't do it, or what would happen. Have you gone through a lot of fear in traveling, or have you been able to, you know?
Well, I think the biggest fear that I have, I don't even know if I have a fear, really.
Yeah.
I just go, you know. I just pack up and I go, and I sometimes don't even have a return ticket because I don't know where I'm coming back from.
I love
all
it.
All I take is a backpack and my little travel guitar, and away I go. And it's
really
a carry-on size. Yeah, I can go for 3 months with a carry-on size backpack. I've got it fine-tuned.
Oh boy, I tell you, you could be teaching a few lessons on how to do a carry-on and travel. Like that's a real talent.
It was, and it took me 3 months to pack for the first time, because I had everything that I wanted, and I would just keep dismissing this one and getting rid of that and putting that one in. And it was fun. It was a process, and it was great.
Oh. Yeah, I guess.
Now I've got it. I got her down now.
Wow. And then, of course, with the internet, a lot of these countries, they have their internet cafes.
Mm-hmm.
So for anybody that does a business, they could go to the internet cafes.
Yes. I'm in touch with actually quite a few families and individuals that do this travel blogging. And they're full-time travelers all over the world, And they have a blog, and of course it takes a long time to get it set up so you can make money from it, but some of these are just amazing. And it's not something that I want to do because I don't really consider myself a writer per se.
Mm-hmm.
But when I put my mind to it, I can write something, but it's a lot of work for me. But there are some people who can write, and they travel, and they just have their whole, they've been out there for 5 or 6 years, a full-time travel. It's just amazing.
That is amazing.
Mm.
And do you come across quite a few people, like when you're traveling, that are they able to combine their business and their traveling?
Yes. I met a couple people this past winter. One gal, she does appraisals, land appraisals. And she was down in Mexico and she was appraising land somewhere in the eastern states. I can't remember the state she came from now. But she does land appraisals, and what they would do is email all the information to her, and she would fill out all the forms and appraise this land and send it back, and she was paid to do this. And she was able to do this for 2 or 3 days a week and then enjoy the beach and the sun the rest of the time.
Perfect.
And another woman, she was an accountant, and she just got all the stuff emailed down to her. She would do all her accounting because it was tax season. She did all her taxes and sent it back, and then she can run the business right from there. Anything that can be done by email, well, you can do it from anywhere.
Wow, that's all really encouraging. and to get out of that box that we can put ourselves in, and like I was mentioning, fears, and no, I don't sense that you have many fears, Ashley, myself, but I really don't. I think you just go for it. But I think a lot of us can. We just feel like, oh, we shouldn't do it, or we shouldn't travel alone. It's all these should and shouldn'ts.
Mm.
And it gets pretty tiresome after a period of time.
It does. I don't know. I love traveling by myself. Maybe, everyone is so different, but I really do like traveling by myself because then I can do what I want when I want and move on or not if I want to or don't want
to. Right.
And it's not as scary once you're actually traveling. I think the biggest fear that people have is thinking about traveling and thinking of all the things that can go wrong.
That can go wrong.
And they just think themselves out of it, which is so sad because there's so much out there. There's so many people to meet and countries to see. And I don't know. I just get so excited just talking about traveling.
Yes. Oh, I can hear it.
And all the places that I want to go and see.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
even in the summertime when I'm in Calgary, I'm not really in Calgary for much. Like, I just got back from Jasper for a week, and I went riding in the mountains for a weekend, and I'm off to BC in a couple weeks for 2 or 3 weeks, and then I'm back to Waterton after that, and so I'm just all over the place. But the good thing is, I can still work.
And so, what would your day look like? So, it wouldn't be as structured, obviously, as an 8 to 5 job. So, how would that look like?
Well, for the past 3 years, I've struggled with not having a structure because I just finished 30 years at a ranch where you're up at 6 and work as soon as your feet hit the ground until you go to bed about midnight. And, I haven't really done anything like that for the last 3 years since I left the ranch. So now I always sleep in. I sleep in every single day. I'm usually get up around 8 o'clock and lay there and think, oh, okay, this is what my day is going to look like, and I kind of plan out my day. And then I'll get up and I'll turn my computer on and I'll just work at the computer for a couple hours. And then I'll have breakfast, I'll go ride my bike for an hour or do my yoga. And then I might read a book or whatever else is happening. If I have a meeting, then I'll go off to a meeting with a client, or I can go out and visit my daughter. And go visit my son. It's just wide open. As long as I get all my work done, then I feel comfortable enough to go out and do anything else that I want to do.
Yeah, isn't that key? Instead of feeling like I have to be at the computer all the time, and making this have to list.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, then you're in this constant guilt mode, and then that becomes tiresome, and
I think
you can get really resentful about feeling guilty all the time. So I, It's interesting because it's a whole new way of working.
It is a different way of working, and I'm thinking there's more and more people doing this all the time.
Yes.
I think if people can just think outside the box a little bit and say, okay, well, how can I make this, whatever I'm doing, work online and away from here, you know, away from the office and going downtown. And I think there's more companies, I think more and more companies all the time are saying, okay, well, you can work from home. So if you can work from home, you can work from anywhere.
Right. Do you think that you manifest, you create, like in the morning you were saying that you lay there in bed, and are you manifesting how the day goes?
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can see how I want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's always something that comes up that may not work out completely. I mean, other things can happen. Somebody gives you a call and says, oh, I need to talk to you right away. Well, okay, we'll do it. But yeah, I manifest and I sit there and I do some meditation as well.
Mm-hmm.
I get myself right into the right frame of mind to meet the day, and I don't drink coffee, so I have to do something. Eh?
And so do you meditate like in the morning time? Is that
That's the best
you...
time for me.
Okay.
Yes. First thing in the morning, before I even get up out of bed. You know, I sit up and I meditate maybe 15 minutes. And
that's all that you, for yourself, that's all that you really need is the 15 minutes?
Well, 15 minutes in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the day, sometimes I just, if something's going on and I'm feeling kind of restless or whatever it is, I'll just sit and I'll breathe and I'll try to get in touch with whatever's happening and resolve it before I go anywhere else. I really try hard to do that because I don't like that feeling of disconnection. I don't like the feeling of being scattered, and
mm-hmm.
It happens to everybody. And I'm just becoming a whole lot more aware now of how to kind of ground myself again and get back into the feeling that I want to feel.
So for anyone that's really feeling stuck, they're really feeling unsupported and, maybe they've lost an interest in life. And it can happen with anyone at any time. What's your thoughts? Do you have any inspiration that you can share or words of recommendation is for that person who's really lost? And it could be someone who's lost because of a relationship or some illness, but they've a lot of despair, or they're feeling a lot of despair in their life at the moment.
Well, I would think that they should just start to love themselves, find a way to love themselves and to be easy on themselves, go easy on themselves through either meditation. There's so many modalities out there. You can get people to help you in so many ways. But I think the biggest thing is you have to know that you're going to be okay no matter what happens. You have to know that everything in the universe is working for you, even if it doesn't feel like it. You have to feel your own self. And I'm not explaining it very well, but you have to get to know yourself, what you want, and then once you figure that out, just go for it. Don't let anybody tell you what you should or shouldn't do. Just go and follow your heart. You have to follow your heart.
Yes. And what I've been learning here so much lately, it keeps coming up again and again, is that forgiveness. So if it is due to a relationship or forgiving yourself, just that forgiveness is so huge.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
Because we all have our bumps in the road, along the pathway. And if we don't forgive, then we can really be lost.
Yes, that's so true. That is very, very true. I spent a long time being lost as well and trying to find my way, but it all came together for me, and I'm so grateful. And being grateful is a huge step in the right direction. You know, being grateful for what you have rather than what you don't have.
Yes.
Want what you already have.
Isn't that true? And every day and being aware of that and catching yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, that's such a big one.
It is.
So, Jen, if someone's interested in contacting you and maybe having you look at their website, and people can certainly look at mine and the great job that Jen did, which is www.whisperingenergetic.ca. And I invite you to do that. But, Jen, how would they get in touch with you?
Well, they can go to my website as well, and that's skylinedesign.ca. And my contact information is there. There's a toll-free number you can call, and it goes straight to my cell phone. And there's email there as well if you wanted to contact me that way. And also a form to fill out if you wanted to have a quote on your website. You just fill out the form and send that off to me, and I can get back to you right away.
Yeah, and I do have to tell everybody what's been great with Jen. I mean, we Skype, you know, with this Skyping, which is fabulous. I mean, I do it in my own business and anywhere around the world, and it seems to be improved, like, more and more all the time. But I'd be setting up a time with Jen, and there she is in Mexico, wherever. It really doesn't matter. You just set up the time, and it works just great. So, no, I think that's great. I do believe you are a big inspiration, Jen, for being able to have a business and live your passion.
Well, thank
you.
So,
yeah, I appreciate you coming on and just sharing that and having the courage to live your passion, because that does take courage.
It does, yes. It does take a little bit, but I'm just so grateful for the lifestyle that I have now and my business and I'm just so darn happy.
Yeah, that's so cool. Well, Jen, thanks. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And we're going to have this recorded and put up on my website and on the talkshoe.com under Search Brenda's Mindful Healing Show. And also, I'm really doing this cool, it's called an energy scan. So for anyone that wants to sign up, under my website, get in contact with me, and I'll be providing a complimentary energy scan. It's just really checking to see if there's any, you know, blockages that are going on within your energy field, and it just sort of gives an indication of what I'm picking up. So you're welcome to do that. So anyways, again, thank you, Jen, and we'll be talking to you shortly.
Okay, you take care.
Yeah, okay, take care.
Bye.
Bye.